Thanks for listening to the best of the Ben Maller Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weeknight from 2 to 6 Eastern, 11 p.m. to 3 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And to find your local station for the Ben Maller Show at foxsportsradio.com, you can find it there. Or stream us live every night on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
This is the best of the Ben Maller Show on Fox Sports Radio.
An unholy kind of a performance. Welcome in the beginning of another edition of the Ben Maller Show. We are side by side in the air everywhere as we mess with the doohickey coast to coast, border to border, and beyond on the vast and mighty powerful microphones of FSR emanating live from the yard, the graveyard shift, the Fox Sports Radio studio somewhere at a secret location in the Northwoods. Hope all is well with you. We are back at it again. And as an added bonus for the second consecutive week in hour number two, it will be Benny versus the Penny. We brought it back last week to rave reviews. And so for the second consecutive week, we'll have that in hour number two. But this hour, we begin our lead with the NFL, the National Football League. And I think you know where we're going. There was a game played not that long ago. It ended, and oh, what a night for football it was. Thursday night, barn burner in the Bayou. Dak Prescott leading the traveling circus of the Cowboys into Superdome for a date with the Saints, and a lot of fanfare is Taysom Hill making his first start of the season. Don't know if you had a chance to watch any of this or not. Maybe you missed it, but we watched it for you. So that's the good news. We got your back. It's our good mitzvah of the day, and the only good mitzvah of the day. So Tony Pollard had a 58-yard touchdown run, and that was one of the few offensive highlights, a lot of defensive highlights for Dallas as they played suffocating defense, or was it bad offense? You decide. Anyway, by the time it had all ended, the Dallas Cowboys were 10 points better than New Orleans, and so the Cowboys win the game 27-17. Dallas gets the victory. They've been 1-3 their last four games, but the better story is in the losing locker room. We will revisit the Dallas Cowboys in a moment, but let's start with the Saints, where Taysom Hill, we mentioned he took over the starting job there for the Saints. First time he had been injured, he lost the job in training camp to Jameis Winston, and not only was Taysom Hill playing quarterback, he was absolutely terrible. And I'm trying to be nice. He threw not one, not two, not three, but four, a four-pack of interceptions, and could have had several more along the way. So let us discuss the question, what do you take away from the El Stinko performance of Taysom Hill in his first start? So my observations, you've got Ritz-Carlton, Prom, and Lipstick. And we'll put all of this together, and we are going to make marginal audio gold. All right, so number one, Taysom Hill had that sinking feeling from the start, and it's an accurate breakdown to say that he sucked at a time you cannot suck, looked like a guy who had won a contest with season ticket holders of the Saints. Would you like to play quarterback for the New Orleans Saints? Put your name in the hopper, and maybe we will pick your name out of the hopper, and you can play quarterback. It was abysmal. It was nauseating. Taysom Hill, the Cowboys are being credited with a victory, and they did win the game, but it wasn't really that they won. It was the other team lost, and in this case, the other quarterback, Taysom Hill, was not really playing quarterback for New Orleans as much as he was working at the Ritz-Carlton in New Orleans as he delivered the victory on a room service cart right there. You call room service at the Ritz, and they go up the service elevator, they roll the cart down, and they knock on the door, and they leave the food right in front of the door there, and you just have to open the door, boom, you got your meal. And in this case, you got your victory for the Cowboys. Taysom Hill, the interceptions, we'll get to those, but he tripped and fell in very theatrical ways. It was like a vaudevillian comedy. The first interception was inside the Cowboy 5-yard line. The Saints were in field goal range. They were matriculating the ball down the field, and you think they're going to get some points out of it. And interception. And also, he took a sack that knocked the Saints out of field goal range. That was on the first play of the fourth quarter. The Saints trying to get back into the game at that point. But if you didn't watch and you're trying to figure out what happened here, even if you did watch and you were in a haze, you fell asleep because it was so boring, you would say, if you didn't see the game and just looked at the box score, you'd say, boy, why is this dum-dum on the radio ripping Taysom Hill? His stats weren't that bad. Listen, I don't disagree if you just looked at the box score, but the Saints, while they were mathematically in the game for a good stretch of time, I did not get the feeling that the light bulb was going to light up the room there under Taysom Hill, that it was not really reality. Like, mathematically, yeah, they were within the game, but the way they were playing, not so much. And based on this game, and only this game, and that's all we have to judge Taysom Hill on right now, he's not that guy, pal. He's just not that guy as far as the quarterback's concerned. He went out there, laid an egg, he got bailed out. That's the other thing about it. It's like people who didn't see the game, like, well, Taysom Hill wasn't that bad. Garbage time, right? Garbage time. Fourth quarter, the game was wrapped up, and he made sure it was wrapped up with his interception fiesta late in the game. But 42% of Taysom Hill's passing yards and 50% of his touchdowns came in the fourth quarter, and most of those on a 70-yard catch and run in garbage time. Can you say stat stuffing? Yes. Not stuffing like you had last week at Thanksgiving. This is some nice stat stuffing. Now, secondly, considering how thick Sean Payton put the frosting on the cake here, the Taysom Hill cake, this is an alarming turn of events. Sean Payton was the trope of the person dressed up at the prom who got stood up by the date. The bromance between the coach and the quarterback / gadget guy has been well documented. We've talked about it. We've been fascinated by it. That Taysom Hill, who has played only sporadically in his NFL career, he's the ultimate gadget guy, the NFL's most famous gimmick player at this moment, and now he's getting his first chance to say, hey, I can sit at the grown-ups table. I'm not at the kiddies table anymore. I'm at the grown-ups table post-Drew Brees. Now, I know he played some games when Drew Brees got hurt in the past, but it's a whole different animal right now, right? The landscape has changed. You can call it global warming, whatever you want to call it, but it's much different without Drew Brees being there, and he already got demoted, Taysom Hill. He lost his job to Jameis Winston in a mild upset during training camp, then got hurt. Taysom Hill had to watch Trevor Siemian play, who served up crapola. And all of this buildup, and I did a negative Saints monologue last week after they took it in the shorts against the Buffalo Bills on Thanksgiving. We were in here. I was doing the show Thanksgiving night, and we were blabbing away and barking into the microphone, and people were sleeping drunk on tryptophan and all that. And so I was ranting and raving about the Saints, and I got some blowback. Is, oh, anyway, yeah, well, you just wait. Taysom Hill. You just wait. Taysom Hill, once Sean Payton gets his quarterback, you're good to go. Okay. Well, Taysom Hill played, and you might want to contact the Better Business Bureau. There was some false advertising. Four interceptions, but three of the four in the final 6 minutes and 32 seconds of the ball game, including a pick six, fat guy touchdown, Carlos Watkins defensive tackle on a attempted screen pass. Can't even pull off a screen pass. That's how incompetent the Saints are. Foobar would be the way we would describe
poop fest
that performance. And Sean Payton, he has some explaining to do. The excuse machine working overtime. Now, we were told that a number of key players for the Saints were supposed to play. Many of those guys that we anticipated were going to play did not play. But on this show, we have a no injury excuse in the NFL mantra that it's next man up, the backups are there. And so all this stuff, losing enough, they're QB one or they're running back one or this one, that one, under the sun, you name it. Well, okay, those guys weren't available. So they were, at that moment, they were not the left tackle one, the right tackle one. Somebody else had ascended up the depth chart and they were the new right tackle one, left tackle one, whatever it might be in this situation. So get the job done. These guys, these bums, didn't get the job done. So they're using the injury card. Also, the fact that Taysom Hill himself, in this game, he dinged his finger and he injured the finger and all that. And so they said, well, wait a minute. That's why he hurt his finger. But keep in mind, there's a big difference between hurt and injured. And you're supposed to play hurt. If you're injured, you're not supposed to play. And so I don't doubt that Taysom Hill was hurt, but he stayed in the game. And it's Sean Payton. That's a no-win situation. Either Sean Payton left him in the game when he was injured, which is a dumb coaching move, or he didn't take him out of the game when he deserved to be benched based on his performance, based on his play. There's no equity that Taysom Hill's got in the bank based on his resume as a quarterback in the NFL. Listen, Trevor Siemian's not a bowl of cherries. He sucks also. There's got to be somebody else. Put the third string guy in there. We'll get that guy from Notre Dame or he called up from Indiana. Praise that. But the third, the old Golden Domer, he's the third stringer. Put him in. So the Saints now, congratulations. They are channeling back to their glory days. They now have a wonderful 5-game losing streak. That last happened 16 years ago. And New Orleans did not have Drew Brees at that time. They didn't have Sean Payton at that time. That was before Brees and Payton arrived. So this is the first 5-game losing streak in Sean Payton's coaching career. Now, the good news is, as far as Taysom Hill, I'm going to be Benny Brightside. It's not all bad news, and this guy, he sucks the big one. It's not that. All right. The good news is that Sean Payton can slowly develop Taysom Hill and mold him like a ball of clay. Take 4 years, right? Why not take 4 years and then slowly, methodically build Taysom Hill into a great quarterback? By the time Taysom Hill is 35 years old, he's 31 now, so by the time he's 35, you will have a very effective NFL quarterback. Until then, you've got a nice halfback is what you've got. All right, now, final point. So I want to turn the page to the Cowboys and spend a couple good minutes on the Cowboys. Now, Dallas did not have Mike McCarthy. And they had the old Falcon coach in there with his hat on backwards doing his thing. No problem. And does this win prove that everything's okay in Cowboy land? That the Cowboy train is now back on the tracks? Choo-choo! I say no. I say no, that the win in Louisiana does not prove that. There is actually plenty to be very worried about in Cowboy country. If you're thinking about down the line and going on a run in the postseason, even holding off the Washington team to be named later in the NFL, because since Dallas won this game, this is actually a bad win. I'm going to tell you why. All right. This is putting lipstick on a pig is what it is. And that was an absolute hog performance by the quarterback. And it masked, the victory masked an underlying condition because the dum-dums will say, well, everything's great. The Dallas Cowboys won the game and they had the COVID outbreak. No, no, no. Dak Prescott, again, looked like the same old Dak Prescott of years gone by. And that is not a compliment. Open your eyes. And somewhere in the bowels of the Superdome, walking out of that venue in the Big Easy, Jerry Jones was double-fisting Alka-Seltzer because it was heartburn heaven for the Cowboy quarterback there. And I'll tell you why. All right, CeeDee Lamb, back. Amari Cooper, back. They were in the lineman. The big defense of Dak, whose numbers have gone down recently, was, well, he doesn't have his receivers. Okay? He now has his receivers, and that was the performance against a Saints team that, let's be honest, right now they're not very good defensively. More on that in a second. But Dallas was 2 of 13 on third down. The Saints, because of those garbage yards in the fourth quarter, ended up with more yards. They had as many first downs as the Cowboys, that offensive juggernaut. And so Dak Prescott, he got paid, and he is slowly regressing into the player that he had been, the player that everyone said, why would you ever give Dak Prescott that contract? And he's playing like that guy again. He's leveled off. So if you don't believe that, take off your blinders. It was so pathetic, right? When was the moment where everything said, wait a minute, we have the come to Jesus moment? Well, it wasn't actually the come to Jesus moment. It was the come to Michael Irvin moment. I don't know if you noticed this, but this was wild. Even though Michael Irvin masquerades, the playmaker, as a hack media guy for state-sponsored NFL media and others, Michael Irvin was giving Dak Prescott a pep talk on the Cowboys sideline. It was right around 3 minutes to go in the game. So there you go. That's an impartial member of the media, the sports media, Michael Irvin. Nobody cares about that stuff anymore, right? Come on, let's be honest here. Still on Jerry Jones' payroll, giving a pep talk. Am I allowed to give a pep talk? I'd like to give, if that's allowed now, I'll give a pep talk to Matthew Stafford. I'll be willing to go to these Ram games and give a pep talk to Stafford. Knock it off. You're not in Detroit anymore. I'll be better than Michael Irvin giving a pep talk. I could give a pep talk. All right. Anyway, Dak was drowning against a defense, which right now is a shell of its old self. New Orleans over the past month is 22nd in the NFL. And Dak Prescott, if you look at the last four games, he's averaged 6.7 yards, less than seven, below average, quarterback rating below 88. He's not good. He is just a mid-level, at best, quarterback in the NFL. And good for him. He got paid.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Ben Maller Show weekdays at 2 a.m. Eastern, 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
A speech to remember. Welcome in the beginning of yet another hour, one after another, of the Ben Maller Show. We are in the air everywhere as we hope for the best coast to coast, border to border, and beyond on the vast and powerful microphones of FSR emanating live from the path, on the warpath, the Fox Sports Radio studios, somewhere at a secret location deep in the Northwoods. And we are at it again this hour. Hope you're well. Our lead coming from college football. I had no intention of talking about college football at all. I feel like I've met my quota of college football. We don't talk a lot of it on this show. It's mostly an NFL show. But there is a story that caught my attention. One of our mottos is we talk about the stories. We go where the stories are. And there is a wonderful tale that we must discuss here from the world of college football. It involves the coaching carousel, but not so much about a new move, but a recent move. Another coach did not change jobs since last we talked, at least a big-name coach. That did not happen. So this involves Brian Kelly, the former Notre Dame coach, who was introduced trying to make himself friendly and a nice, recognizable face there for the hometown fans in Baton Rouge. Why not? He's got one of those $100 million contracts. And so this took place on Thursday night. If you did not hear about this, and maybe not, Brian Kelly, who left Notre Dame for LSU, was speaking to a crowd. He addressed the crowd at a college basketball game, LSU playing Ohio on Wednesday, and not a big game. LSU not a powerhouse in college basketball, neither is Ohio. It's not a top 25 game. Fine, whatever. Tigers won the game. But it's not about that. It's about what Brian Kelly said and how he said it. He told the assembled fan base, filled with a lot of alumni that were there, that this is a great way to get started, and I haven't won all my games yet, but that's not even the story. It was Coach Kelly's tone, his inflection that caught people off guard. And so just to prove I'm not making this up, it's really more of an audio story anyway, which is good for radio because we're an audio platform. We actually have a clip of Brian Kelly addressing the fans. And I want you to listen closely here. Brian Kelly has an interesting twang to his voice. Let's go to the audio tape, as Warner Wolf would say. Here's the new coach of LSU, Brian Kelly.
Thank you. Well, this is a great way to get started. And I haven't even won all my games yet. It's a great night to be a Tiger. I'm here with my family, and we are so excited to be in the great state of Louisiana, but more importantly, to be with you great fans and to be part of what is going to be an incredible ride here at Louisiana State University.
All right, rah, rah, the crowd goes wild. All right, so did you notice? You had to listen closely. There was a Southern accent. There was a Southern accent from Chip Kelly. He didn't do it on every word, though, but if you we're going to play it again here and listen to the words started, family, and tiger. If you listen to those words, especially family, he puts on the Southern charm. Let's play it one more time. Here we go.
Hit the audio. Thank you. Well, this is a great way to get started, and I haven't even won all my games yet. It's a great night to be a Tiger. I'm here with my family, and we are so excited to be in the great state of
Louisiana. All right, we don't need the rest of it. That was the key part. All right, so let us discuss the question, what the heck is Brian Kelly doing here on the hot microphone? What is going on? So I've got my take on this is Darwinism, Bart Simpson, and Eureka. And we will put all of this together into the pot, and we're going to make the Baba Ganoush. We're going to make the Baba Ganoush for the weekend. All right, so to lead off, Chip Kelly, the Jedi master of changing jobs. Now, he hasn't changed jobs in a long time, but it's kind of like riding a bike. You know that old the old phrase, once you learn how to ride a bike, no matter how old you get back on a bike and boom, you remember, it's muscle memory. And Coach Kelly had been at Notre Dame for 12 years, but he immediately pivoted. And he found in the attic at his house on his way to the South the old bag of tricks, and he had it right there. Now, keep in mind, gas bags and pundits got together and wondered aloud how Brian Kelly would handle the culture change of being below the Mason-Dixon line. And he wasted no time in practicing what I call coaching Darwinism. Now, what is coaching Darwinism, you ask? It's a simple phrase. If you don't adapt to your environment, you die. People in Louisiana want to hear a Southern dialect, so then golly gee whiz, you're going to give them what they want. Undergoing a metamorphosis before your eyes, a transformer more than meets the eyes, Brian Kelly acting like a trained SEAL, and he delivered. Now, furthermore, these pep rallies in general by coaches that change teams are almost always both cringeworthy and very predictable. One week ago, Brian Kelly was singing the praises and evangelizing Touchdown Jesus. And now he is wearing an LSU shirt and whistling Dixie. And all it took was $95 million. And he reminded me of that old, remember the old Bart Simpson pull the string, Bart Simpson doll back in the 90s, where if you pulled the string and on the back there, you'd get phrases like, it's just like Bart Simpson would say, "Ay caramba," you know, something like that. Or he'd say, "Holy cow, man." That's Brian Kelly. That's Brian Kelly. He simply regurgitates these same old cliches and catchphrases of every coach who gets a new high-profile job. And maybe I've been around so long now that I just know exactly how these things go, and they really are paint by numbers, where you get the microphone, you say how excited you are to have the job, you're looking forward to the challenge, your family can't wait to move to the community, and you've always wanted to live in this part of the country, and you have high expectations, you love the tradition, you can't wait to be part of the tradition, and oh my God, the fans, how great are the fans? You deserve a winner. I'm going to bring you a championship. Lather, rinse, and repeat. And so it goes. Of course, the long-suffering LSU fans. I can barely remember when Joe Burrow and Coach O were celebrating their championship and Odell Beckham was throwing money around the LSU locker room. That was like a lifetime ago. All right, last thing here. So Chip Kelly's not involved. Brian Kelly is from Massachusetts, and he is proving a Tiger apparently can attempt to change its stripes in the matter of just a couple of days here. Now, really what was going on, it was like a musician doing vocal exercises, attempting to hit all the right notes, because he did not use the Southern accent throughout. As we highlighted, there were three words that I noticed the dialect change. Started, the big one was family. Said it like he was from the South. And then Tiger, there was a little bit of that going on. Now, the other question that's been asked here is, was this choreographed by Brian Kelly, or was this off the cuff? And after reviewing the audio multiple times, I have concluded a minutes-long Maller investigation that this was last-minute, unrehearsed, that Kelly had some kind of eureka moment, that he was talking to somebody right before he was going to go out and speak, and he had that eureka moment where, hey, you know, why don't you speak a little Southern accent to it? When in the bayou, do as the Cajuns do. You must do it, right? When in Rome, do as the Romans. Now, if he had planned it, then I believe it would have been delivered better. I think he would have done a better job. Brian Kelly, he would have done some voice training, some gargling tone, kind of pursing your lips, things that you're supposed to do when you're performing there. It turned out it was clearly next level pandering. It was political. It was like one of those stump speeches. It sounded like a politician on a whistle-stop tour going around saying how they're going to lower your taxes and make crime go away, and then the world will be better, and everything will be wonderful. Brown-nosing would be another way to determine what Coach Kelly did here. He was the dancing bear in underwear out there, his LSU underwear, filleting the LSU fans about how great LSU is going to be. Coach O, just think about Coach O, the Cajun Fred Flintstone. If Coach O was hired at Notre Dame, he'd have to fake a Midwestern accent. he'd have to get like an upper Midwestern tone to his voice, which would be very tough because he sounds like a cartoon character. But he was thinking, think of him listening somewhere at a bar, drinking cheap beer on a beach in Florida, throwing beer nuts at the radio as he listens. But it's, of course, all harmless fun because Coach O has a massive check he's getting for being the former LSU coach. He's being paid to do nothing. And Brian Kelly is laughing all the way to the bank. And you know, every time he does one of these things, it's cha-ching, cha-ching, cha-ching throughout. But there you go. A lot of talks. If Kelly had just given a normal speech about being the LSU coach and not attempted to talk like he was from the Beverly Hillbillies, then he would not have had to have any kind of publicity. It actually turned out to be a net positive. He got a lot of traction. Turned out to be a good thing.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Ben Maller Show weekdays at 2 a.m. Eastern, 11 p.m. Pacific.
He's Mike Harmon. I'm Dan Byer. We have a brand new fantasy football podcast called I Want Your Flex. Twice a week, every Tuesday and Friday, we come up with new episodes to not only look back at what happened, what you need to do at that minute, and also look ahead of what's coming up in the fantasy football world.
That's right, Dan. Every week we're going to scour the waiver wire to find the pickups to turbo boost your fantasy lineup, sits, starts, fantasy football players' rankings to get you ready to dominate the competition.
Listen to I Want Your Flex with Mike Harmon and me, Dan Beyer, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Knock, knock. Who's there?
Lame week.
Lame week who? It's Big Ben's lame joke of the week.
All right, here we go. Big Ben's lame joke of the week. That Adam Sandler Hanukkah song, what the epitome of smartness is writing a Hanukkah song. It gets played every year. Any Christmas Hanukkah song that hits, holy cannoli, that is the way to go. But tonight, Friday night, the sixth night, I believe, of the Hanukkah holidays. I can't keep track. They said there would be no math. This portion of the Ben Maller
Racist.
Show. Big Ben's lame jokes of the week made possible by Discover Card. Exceptionally common sense is brought to you by Discover Card. These are actual jokes sent in by actual listeners like yourself, and boy, do we thank you for that. And if you think you're funny and you want to brag to your friends that you wrote a joke that got played on the show, you can test your luck. Send your joke to care of the Ben Maller Show at gmail.com, benmallershow@gmail.com, and we may read your joke on the air. And here we go. Why didn't Lizzo enjoy her trip to Alaska?
I don't know. Why didn't Lizzo not enjoy her trip to Alaska?
Well, it turns out that the native Eskimos kept throwing harpoons at her. It was not very nice, Eddie. It was rather mean. All right. What is Lizzo's spirit animal?
I don't know.
A crane. What do you call Lizzo on roller skates?
I don't know.
Fake news. That's from Just Josh, his last two. From Just Josh. Chris in Des Moines said that first one. Why is Joey Chestnut so attracted to Lizzo?
That's a great question. I don't know the answer.
Well, apparently the back of her neck looks like a pack of hot dogs, and Joey Chestnut, you know, he's just one thing, at least another. That's Mighty Man in Augusta. The Mighty Man. I think that's the first joke we've gotten from the Mighty Man in Augusta. Thank you for that. Surfer Todd, the comedian, sent this one in. What does the tortilla prove about Mexican cooking?
I don't know.
The tortilla proves they never cut corners. All right. So stupid. It's Big Ben's lame jokes of the week. Matthew McConaughey said he wouldn't run for governor of the great state of Texas, Eddie.
Oh, really? Why is that?
Yeah, when asked for a reason, McConaughey said, because Texas is, all right.
You do it, Coop. Go ahead.
All right.
Yeah, it was 1,000 times better than your Ben.
Oh, you do it, Eddie. Go ahead.
What for? He just did it. Perfect.
No, you do it better. Let's see what you got, tough guy. All right. God. Anyway, thank you, George. What do COVID and great opinions have in common?
I don't know. What do COVID and great opinions have in common?
LeBron James does not have either. So you've got that. That's Bill. Bill from Iowa sent that one in. What do USC and the Ben Maller Show have in common?
I don't know. What's that?
Both giving away free flights from nowhere, Oklahoma. So it's Bill from Iowa. Coop, you got anything, Coopaloop?
No, not at this moment.
All right. Why was the NFL suspicious about Antonio Brown's vax card?
I don't know. Why were they suspicious of that?
Well, it all started when they saw that it was for someone named McLovin. And that was a problem.
I just want to point out that we were right about that whole story.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if you're fully correct on it, but we'll get into that next hour. The Minnesota Timberwolves are off to their best start in several years, Eddie.
Is that right?
Yeah, it looks like A-Rod's special gummy bears are still working. So it's James the Machinist in Minnesota. The Foo Fighters canceled a concert in Minnesota over safety protocols, Eddie.
Is that right? I didn't know that.
Yeah, apparently nobody could guarantee the Vikings wouldn't stink up the place the day before, so they had to cancel the concert. James the Machinist there. I like that. Thank you, James. What does Big Ben, that would be me, and Ben Roethlisberger have in common?
So many answers come to mind. I don't know. What's the answer?
Well, we would both beat Eddie Garcia at any game we played. The great A-Dub, longtime listener. He was a little kid when he started listening. Now he's all grown up in Vancouver. Who knew? How'd that happen? We got some good holiday jokes here. What did the stamp say to the Christmas card?
I don't know. What did the stamp say to the Christmas card?
Stick with me. We'll go places.
Oh, boy.
Anthony in Anaheim. What does Rudolph want for Christmas?
What does Rudolph want for Christmas?
The newest sleigh station. These are good dad jokes from Anthony in Anaheim. Who is a Christmas tree's favorite singer?
I don't know who.
Spruce Springsteen.
Come on, Coop. Really?
anything now, Coop? Anything now? No?
Nobody said anything.
Why has it been a rough Hanukkah this year?
I don't know why has it been a rough Hanukkah. Well,
Eddie, it's hard to keep the faith when life keeps throwing Brian Finley at you every few days. That's a problem. That's James the Machinist in Minnesota. What did Coop say to the Christmas tree?
I don't know. What did Coop say to the Christmas tree?
Light it up. That's what he said. Right there. Why is Discover Card disappointed with its commercial on the Ben Maller show?
Well, I don't believe that that's true, but just for the sake of the joke, why?
They were hoping to find something brighter, and then they heard Sir Eats-a-Lot, and they were upset by it. That's Chip in Maine who sent that one in. Rachel in Montebello took up bird watching in her free time.
Oh, is that right?
She's a big fan. She always tries to find the swallow.
I've heard that about her.
Wow. James the Machinist. What does Weedman Hippie's work history have in common with a Major League Baseball CBA session?
I lasted 7 minutes.
There you go. Yeah. You've heard that joke before. That was Turnpike Bob. Why did Jed Who Fled reach out to Doc Mike?
I don't know why.
He needed clean urine. No questions asked. No questions. That's Chris in Des Moines.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
We are back with the Coop Scoop on entertainment. Hooray for Hollywood. And here he is, child star. You loved him in Liar Liar, and you love him even more now, the Coopaloop.
Ben, it's actually a slow week as far as new debuts in the theater and on television, but I do have a couple things for you guys. We're going to skip the movie theater altogether because, this weekend there's this one movie called Wolf coming out. It looks terrible.
It's a two-bucket movie, two buckets of popcorn.
Did you see the new Ghostbusters movie, Coop?
I did. I loved it.
Yeah.
I've heard good things.
Awesome.
I thought it was awesome. Yeah. Right.
I'm going to have to go check it out.
Saw it last Saturday. Great movie.
All right.
Did they have the marshmallow?
Yes.
They did?
Oh, good. Yeah. It was pretty cool. If that was your era, or if you were a fan of that movie at all, you will thoroughly enjoy this movie. Moving on. Now, this show has been out for a few weeks now, and I don't think I've mentioned it on Coop Scoop and Entertainment, but I started watching it with my girlfriend, and it's very funny. So I want to recommend, it's called, now hold on here, it's called The Sex Lives of College Girls.
Yeah. It's, well, who doesn't want to hear about that? Come on, please.
Yeah. It is not a pornographic show. No, it is not.
It's a sex lives of college girls who don't have sex.
No, they do. That's not to say there's not nudity in the show. There is.
Okay. It's too much masturbation, the problem.
But it's an actual...
They're actually hooking up.
It's an actual scripted comedy, I believe it's created by Mindy Kaling, who you may know from The Office and other various comedy roles.
Even I know who she is.
Wow.
Yeah, I've seen The Office.
But yeah, no, this one, I feel like they haven't really advertised this much, but I think it's an HBO, it's a Max original, so it's not on the actual HBO channel, but it's really funny. I definitely recommend that if you have HBO Max.
There is another movie that, now this one has already been out for a couple of days. I missed this one, and if you guys have already seen it, let me know if I should check it out. But it's called The Power of the Dog, and it's on Netflix, and it's a movie that's gotten great reviews so far. They're also kind of pushing this for, you know, the awards season, because it was out in theaters in a limited release. And it's got a big cast. It's about it's an adaptation of a novel by Thomas Savage, and it chronicles a rift between two wealthy Montana rancher brothers in the 1920s. After one of them sneaks off to get married, it's got Benedict Cumberbatch, Kirsten Dunst, Jesse Plemons, Francis Conroy, Keith Carradine. So it's a big cast, and it's gotten great reviews. So check that out. It's available right now on Netflix. And if you've already seen it, let me know what you think on Twitter. Then moving forward, we have, this one is debuting today, I believe, or no, it debuted yesterday. It's already available. Another HBO Max original, and we're getting into, this is, well, what's a lot of on TV right now is the holiday stuff, holiday theme stuff. But this one I'm going to highlight because it sounds interesting. It's called Santa Inc. And it is an adult comedy that is stop motion animated. And it's basically like a foul mouth, elf workplace kind of thing. Sarah Silverman voices an elf who is like currently the vice president at the North Pole, but someday hopes to become the first female Santa. The current Santa is voiced by Seth Rogen. And Craig Robinson also lends his voice to this show, and all 8 episodes are available on HBO Max right now. And then last but not least, I want to bring this one up. It's a crime drama. This one debuts on HBO on Monday at 9 p.m. This one's got good reviews as well. It's called Landscapers, and it's a mini series that's based on a true crime story of a seemingly ordinary British married couple. One of them is played by Olivia Colman, Academy Award winner Olivia Colman. And they become the focus of a murder investigation when two bodies are discovered in their backyard. And the bodies end up being the decade-old corpses of Susan's parents, one of the people in the couple. And so the writer of this series spent hours interviewing the real life couple who maintain their innocence, and it's kind of
interesting.
Yeah, and then this one they kind of put it like they make it like darkly comedic, the show. So yeah, it's that one is available on HBO. It airs on HBO and HBO Max 9 p.m. on Monday, and that is Coop Scoop on Entertainment.